Welcome, and thank you for getting up at 8 o'clock on what is this, the second day of the conference. So it's really nice to see such a warm bunch of people here. You're in Voices Past and Present, Paths Toward Recovery from Stuttering. This is the continuation of a project that has actually spanned seven decades. The beginning was in 1957 when Joseph Sheehan gathered a panel of people who stuttered together for ASHA in Cleveland, Ohio. And Fred Murray ran into Sheehan in the hall and asked if he was recording the panel. And Sheehan said, no, but if you can arrange it, go right ahead. So Murray scrambled, and in 1957, with $100 of his own money, which was considerable in those days, found a person to record it. The recordings from each decade now are freely available on the Stuttering homepage under Voices Past and Present. And it's actually accessed quite often. It was accessed 241 times just last month. So people are going in and listening to these Voices Past and Present. From the 1957 panel on recovery, there were several voices that are all now stilled. We can still listen to their wisdom. On that panel was Wendell Johnson, who responded to the question, should a psychologist or a psychiatrist be a necessary part in the therapy process with a person who stutters? The 1968 panel on recovery was the only panel that actually included a consumer, Thomas Alexander. I'll tell you a little bit more about him in a minute. But if you listen to these people talking, I was very interested to hear what Lee Edward Travis had to say in 1968. He raised concerns about the direction he sees the field going in relation to stuttering after the 50s and 60s. He said, are we hearing that the stutterer can't tell us anything at all about his own stuttering? Is this why we are now enjoying a kind of therapy that minimizes feelings, motives, relationship issues, and emphasizes acts, treating human beings mechanicalistically? Are we losing sight of the person? 20 years after these panels began, Fred Murray was actually included on the panel with others. And listening to some of these voices, you start to hear a theme emerging from people that I have never met. Michael Tebb actually said, he talked about getting to know the person and the importance of counseling. You can hear themes emerging over the years. There was no recovery panel in the 80s, but a panel was did get together in memory of Joseph Sheehan. And in 1996 and 2003, the voices of women who stutter were added when Lois Nelson, my instructor at the University of Wisconsin in Madison, and Judith Eckert, my friend from now Arizona, joined the panel. There are additional treasures on the Voices Past and Present website. There was a symposium in Madison, Wisconsin in 1959 that included these people, including Carl Rogers, who was a professor at the university at that time. Very interesting to listen to Bring Bringelson, who was at the University of Minnesota at that time. He said, I was surprised to learn about another study in England that was similar to the controversial study that was done in Iowa in 1939. This time it was done with adult non-stutterers trying to make them stutterers by changing handedness. And Bringelson said he did, but he pulled back real quickly because they were becoming people who stutter. You can also listen to Van Riper tell the story about when he swore his oath to a birch tree. And also on the Voices Past and Present, there are stories from two people who actually attended Benny Bogue Institute in Indiana in search of a cure. There are many uses for Voices Past and Present, including appreciating our roots. Ray Kent in 1982 said, if we are to know where we are, we should know where we were. And the same year, Van Riper echoed, if we are to know where we're going, we should know where we began. Another use for Voices Past and Present is having a unique participants in the online conferences that I've been doing for the past 14 years. Past International Stuttering Awareness Day online conferences have included people like Gene Cooper, who was a mouse in the corner listening to the banter that went on between Van Riper and Sheehan, and you can listen to that banter yourselves. Or Bob Quisel talking about his mentor, Dean Williams. Or Anders Lundberg from Sweden talking about his therapist, Charles Van Riper. Here's Thomas Alexander again. The year in 1968, he wrote a poem called The Cure. It's online on his Voices Past and Present. But he also wrote a paper about The Cure 40 years later. And that also, his story is also online. Another use for Voices Past and Present may be for research. Ron Gobble is planning to do a qualitative analysis of speeches, trying to make some application of these stories to clinical practice. Sort of a retrospective outcomes study, he says. Another possible use of our voices, past and present, is for teaching. I introduced my students when I was teaching at MSU in Mankato to the authors of several of the various texts that I've used over the years, because you can listen to what they've said on voices, past and present, as well. There are potential uses also, I think, for clinical practice. One is simply listening to the stories of others. There is much to be learned from the stories of what other people who stutter tell us. But also being encouraged to tell their own stories. Our clients, by telling their own stories, learn significant things not only about others, but also about themselves. This project is continuing now in this decade, in 2011, featuring 8 of our colleagues who will share their stories. Please hold your applause and save your questions until all presenters have finished, because I think there will be time for some interaction from you as well.